Good morning, everyone. We bid you warmly welcome to our morning service this Sabbath morning in the Saviour's great name. We're glad of your presence and fellowship with us today. The psalmist said, Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We're singing together the opening seven verses of the 46th Psalm. It's the first version of the Psalm. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. So the first seven verses, the 46th Psalm, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Psalm, it says, be still and know that I am God. How instructive that is. It's only in the stillness as we settle ourselves, take time to settle ourselves, that we will know and be conscious of the Lord's presence with us. Father, we want to commit our meeting into your hands. We pray that you'll come and guide us and help us and bless us today in every part of the meeting. Father, it is our desire as we come to thy house today that we would know the Lord is here, that we would be conscious of your presence with us. We want to ask, Father, that you'll come down and tabernacle amongst us today. Your word says that we have not because we ask not. So, Father, at the very beginning, we plead for your presence. We plead the Lord will come and visit us. We ask earnestly that the Lord will be amongst us. We pray that you'll be in our midst today. The promise, Father, is that where two or three are met in thy name, that there thou art in the midst of them. So we're pleading, Father, come into your house. Come and be amongst your people. Come and bless us with thy presence. Come today, we pray, and encourage our hearts. We think, Father, of the days in which we're found so much to cause concern and worry and anxiety. And Lord, we're glad that we can come to the throne of grace. We're glad that we can unite our hearts around that throne. You've told us in your word that we're to cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain us. And we're glad, Father, that we can bring every burden to thee. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the gathering of your people here. Your word says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We're glad we're able to be here. Thank you for the doors of thy house open. We thank you, Father, for giving us the health and strength, both soundness of body, soundness of mind, to be in your house this day. And Lord, as we're gathered, we want to pray that you'll make us a blessing, the one to the other. We pray that our fellowship together in thy house will be sweet. We pray that you'll deepen our love for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Save us, Father, from envies and bitterness and strife, the one with the other. Ye, hereby shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We're praying, Father, deepen that love today, and deepen our love for Christ, our Saviour. Help us, Father, as we're gathered in thy house, to lift our thoughts and our attention from the things of this world, the things of this life. Help us, Father, to think on the things of God, the cause of Christ, the great business of souls and winning souls for the Saviour. We're praying, Father, for a deeper burden for souls. We ask thee to remember every family that's present and represented in this service. Lord, we've come today to give thee praise and worship. As we're bowed, we give thee the deepest thanks of our heart for your presence during this last week. Lord, for watching over us, even in these days, Father, of extremity, days of soaring prices, we want to acknowledge your provision, your goodness to us, how, Father, you have provided. We think of these words, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And Lord, we're able to testify of that as we're gathered in your house. We want to commit the way ahead to thee this new week upon which we have entered. How good it is to begin the week with God, to begin the week in thy house, to acknowledge that we need thee. Your word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And Lord, we do acknowledge that we need thee through this week. We need thee every day. As the hymn writer said, we need thee to be with us every hour. We ask, Lord, that we'll be conscious of your presence. We pray that you'll use us through this week. We pray for opportunities to speak for Christ, to tell others of the Saviour. Help us not to be careless, Father, or slack in seizing those opportunities, even to be a fisher of men. And Lord, we want to remember those of our congregation not able to be here, those that are unwell, some still experiencing the coronavirus, some, Father, that are experiencing weakness and infirmity. Remember the senior members of this congregation, some listening in to this broadcast this morning. We want to pray, Father, that you'll be near to them. You've assured us that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. May the good hand of God be upon them. In days of weakness, bodily infirmity, fulfill your promise that you give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, you increase strength. Lord, remember those that are experiencing extreme ill health just at this time, those that are waiting on procedures and examinations and surgeries. We just commit each one to thee in their various needs, their various circumstances. Our prayer, Father, is that the hand of God might be upon each one. You've assured us, Father, that you'll supply our every need. And Lord, we thank you that covers every circumstance of life, even the physical, even matters relating to our health. We pray, Father, bless the witness of this church in this city. We especially this Sabbath morning pray for the meetings planned among the children in this incoming week. We pray that those meetings from the very first night will know the blessing of God resting upon them. We thank you for all the plans that have been made. But we know, Father, that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Lord, we ask that you'll come and give help. Thank you, Father, for those that are leading that work and all the plans and work that they have engaged in. Remember all that will help, the workers and labourers. We pray, Father, give us a mind to work just in the days in which we're found. We ask for a good gathering of boys and girls night by night. We pray for their safe keeping as they're brought in the bus and as they participate in the activities. We ask, Lord, that you'll watch over them. Remember Brother Chris as he will conduct those meetings and bring the gospel message, and as he'll speak for us in your will at the parents' night next Sunday evening. Lord, use our brother, we pray. May he know the power of God resting upon him. We ask, Father, that he might be a winner of souls even at this time. We want to pray, Father, send in new families to the church, even from the city, as a result of these meetings. And Lord, we're mindful of other outreaches taking place across the land. We think of the Youth Council and the young people that will engage in open airs and outreaches in different areas, different localities. We thank you for their willingness at a young age to serve the Lord. We pray that you'll use those young people. We pray, Father, that you'll lead some of them into the work of God. We're mindful of the youth camp as well, and our brother, the Reverend McKee, that will conduct those meetings, and others that will assist them. Lord, bless the children. Oh God, we're conscious just of the need to teach the little ones the word of God, to bring them up in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we pray, Father, for every effort been made among the youth and the children this summer, as we've prayed, Father, for the Holiday Bible Club here. We want to pray for every such club that will take place in the city, across the county, across the land, where your servants have been faithful to the gospel and seeking to teach children and young people the word of God. Lord, we want to pray that it will have a great impact upon their hearts. And we're praying, Father, send to us in this land again times of revival, times of a great outpouring of your Spirit. We think of the showers that have been falling upon our land this morning, this Sabbath morning already. And we're mindful, Father, as we think of those showers of the promise of the prophet, that there shall be showers of blessing. O God, we claim the promise. We're in need of them. We acknowledge that today. So, Lord, we pray, open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So answer, we ask these, our earnest cries, we offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together, please, from the first book of Kings. The first book of Kings, the 17th chapter of the book. We're going to think a little today of the life of Elijah. 1 Kings 17. We'll begin at verse 7. We're reading just a little section, the short section, down to the end of verse 16. Let's hear the Lord's word, 1 Kings 17. And the verse 7, it tells us, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him," that's unto Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Ending there this morning, the end of the 16th verse, praying that God will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. Let me extend to each one of you an earnest word of welcome. We welcome you to the Lord's house warmly in the Saviour's great name. We thank you for your support. We're glad of your fellowship. We want to express our appreciation of your faithfulness in supporting these meetings and the testimony of the gospel here. May you hear the Lord's voice today. We need a word from the Lord for all our hearts, a word in season. And it's our prayer that you'll experience that as we gather together in the Lord's house. We welcome all the children and the young people. We appreciate you coming along to the service and the services over the summertime when the Sunday school and the Bible classes are not taking place. So we're glad to see you present with us today as well. We welcome those that are listening in on our live stream. We pray that you'll be blessed, that the Word of God especially will be a comfort and encouragement to your heart. We thank those that help with the outreach. On Tuesday night past, that was the outreach for the Holiday Bible Club, as the invitations to those meetings were given out. We appreciate the good number that came, those that participated in that, the areas that were covered. We pray that it'll bear fruit in this incoming week. Remember, please, the meetings tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting, 6:30, the gospel service. The theme tonight is Amazing Grace, the story of John Newton. This day is the birthday of John Newton, so it's appropriate for us just to look a little at his life, and we'll bring a challenge in the gospel from that theme, from that message this evening. Remember, please, the Holiday Bible Club here in the church during the incoming week, Tuesday through to Friday, 26th to the 29th. The meeting's every night from 6:30 to 8:00. Our brother Chris Killen will be taking those meetings for us. Do keep Chris, especially in your prayers. The details are on the Facebook page. We reposted those just this morning, so do share those details as widely as possible. There are invitations that are available for the meetings in the porch. As we've highlighted, there has been outreach carried out in the city, but maybe you could help by doing a little outreach in your own street, your own community, the children in your own family. So do take a few of those from the supply in the porch. There's others that can be provided if they're needed. Do all you can just to make the meetings known. We ask for your support for those meetings through the week, and pray that the Lord's blessing will rest upon them. Remember Wednesday night, the midweek meeting, our prayer meeting and Bible study. Speaking at that meeting, myself and the midweek service will be downstairs in the church hall. Next Lord's Day, the 31st of July, the morning service 11:30, I'll be speaking at that meeting. Then the evening service at 6:30, that'll take the form of the parents' night for the Holiday Bible Club. Our brother Chris Killen will be along to bring the message at that meeting next Sunday night. Some of the young people will participate in the service as well. There'll be some light refreshments after the meeting, some covered bars and biscuits. If you can help to provide some of those, that would be very much appreciated. So pray for the Lord's blessing to rest clearly upon all of these special activities among the children in the incoming week. Remember, the latest vision is there, the latest Watching and Waiting magazines. Take your copies if you haven't been able to do so. Do pray for all that are unwell in our congregation, some families still affected by the COVID. Remember, especially our senior members, we miss their presence. We want them to know that we think of them often and that they're very much in our prayers as well. Remember the missionary work, Glenn Hamilton and his family. Their time in Kenya is very quickly coming to an end. This is their last weekend. They'll be out for 5 weeks in total, so pray for them as they, pardon me, make the preparations to come home again. Dr. Campbell and his wife Caroline and Miss Elizabeth Edwards from the Lisburn Church. Remember, Elizabeth is a student in the college. They're in Uganda up until the Monday the 8th of August. Keep them in your prayers. There was a report and some pictures posted on the Mission Board's Facebook page just to give an update, so take the time to look at that. Miss McAfee will be travelling home again this incoming week. She will be leaving on Tuesday, God willing. Remember, she had to break up her furlough this time. She intended to be here for 6 months, but had to go back for 8 or 9 weeks. So she has meetings again right through August and September. But especially remember Miss McAfee as she travels home on Tuesday overnight into Wednesday. The Reverend Noel Kelly's funeral is this coming Friday in Kendal in Cumbria. It'll be held in the Power Street Evangelical Church in Kendal, to which he and his wife attended and supported. Miss McAfee, Roberta and myself are travelling over to that funeral to represent the Mission Board. Just in my capacity as the chairman of the Ugandan Oversight Subcommittee, we'll go over on Thursday for the funeral. It's on the Friday morning, come back again that evening. In the will of the Lord, I've been asked to bring a short tribute at that service of our brother, Mr. Kelly, just to tell a little of how he started the work in Uganda, how that work is currently going on, and tell just a little of our experiences with our brother as well. So we value your prayers for that. Remember, the Lockern Convention commences next Lord's Day. This is the 40th anniversary of the Lockern Convention. It's also the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Bethel Congregation in Enniskillen, so it's a very special year for our Bethel Church. Remember that there's cards, little card booklets in the porch. There's also a poster with all of the details. The moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, Dr. Douglas, and also the Reverend Gallagher will be the speakers this year at the convention. So any night you're able, if you'd like a wee run out to go down to County Fermanagh, they would appreciate your support in this very special year for them. Remember, there's to be a welcome home service for Lyle and Heather Boyd as they finish their labours in the land of Spain. That will be held on Tuesday night, the 2nd of August at 8 in the Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church. And finally, just keep in mind the sending forth service for our sister from the church here as she returns to the mission field. That sending forth service will be this night, fortnight, Sunday the 7th at 6:30. The Reverend Harris, the chairman of the mission board, will be the preacher planned to be with us. There will be, again, just similar to next Sunday night, some light refreshments served at the end of that service, just for a time of fellowship, the opportunity to speak with our sister just before she takes her leave of us at the beginning of that week. So please keep all of these matters in mind. 568, please. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. We'll leave out the second verse. We'll sing 1, 3, 4, and 5. And we'll stand as we sing, please. To pray together again. Father, we're mindful that your word says it warns us, wherefore You ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And Lord, we're conscious that all that has been mentioned, every announcement that has been made, that it's subject to your divine will. We commit these things into your hands. We commit ourselves into your keeping. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon every meeting and every outreach, every effort of this church. We're pleading, Father, that we would know the fullness of your blessing resting upon our lives and our labours. You've said that if the Lord blesses, then we're blessed forever. So we're pleading, Father, give us that everlasting blessing. Thank you for the comfort of the words that we've just sung together. God will take care of you. We rejoice to know that Jesus cares. Thank you that you cared for our souls. You died on the cross. And Lord, what a blessing that you care for every detail, every circumstance of our life. And you've exhorted us. We want to do it just now as we're bowed in prayer. We want, Father, to cast all our care upon thee, for thou doth care for us. Fill us with thy Spirit. We ask thee to speak from your word. Use us today as a vessel in your hand, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings 17, please. Our text is the words of the 9th verse. The word of the Lord to his servant Elijah. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The theme of the message, as we come to look at this part of the life of the Lord's servant Elijah, the theme this morning is proving God in trying times. That's certainly what Elijah did, and I pray it'll be a help to encourage you to do the same in the days in which we live. If you remember at the start of last week, we had a few very warm days, which seemed to create a mini crisis in the country. But keep in mind, brethren and sisters, at this period in Israel's history, they were in the midst of what would have to be described as a very serious drought. A very serious drought that was to last, that was to extend for a period not of 3.5 days, but a period of 3.5 years. Whenever it says there in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while, those words are generally understood to mean after a year. And if you note, as it states in verse 7, that for a whole year or after a year, there had been no rain in the land. So just think of it, a whole year of drought, and another 2.5 years of the same drought still to come. So this was undoubtedly a barren time in the land. It was a time of extreme need for the people, for the nation. These were times when people found it very hard to live. There was very little water to be found, and as a result of that, there was very little food to be had in the land as well. So these, brethren and sisters, were years of severe scarcity of the essentials of life. The nation was stricken with an awful famine. But at such a time, Elijah had every need supplied. There never was a day, just take that in. There never was a day that he was in need or that he was in want. Every day during that very extreme famine, he had food and refreshment. So, brethren and sisters, I want you to see, to learn today, Elijah proved God. He proved God's provision. And he proved God's provision even in very trying times. And I want to encourage you to see that you can do the same in these very difficult days in which we live, days when prices are soaring, the cost of living has reached unprecedented levels. So let us look at Elijah when he's at Zarephath. Let us learn from him. Let us learn from his example. Let us learn how to prove the Lord in very challenging times, and especially how to experience the Lord's provision for you and your family when a nation falls on very hard times. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the problem. Consider there the words in the middle of verse 7. It says that the brook dried up. Now let me remind you that this brook was part of God's provision, God's supply for a servant during this whole period of drought. This was a major part of how Elijah lived and of how he was fed. The end of the previous verse says he drank off the brook. So it's clear this was his daily means of life, his daily means of refreshment. But every day that Elijah sat by the brook in those days of scarcity, what he saw was the waters of the brook gradually decrease. At first it reduced to just a trickle, but then the waters ceased completely. One day Elijah got up and the brook was dry, the stream was empty. So what a problem, what a challenge that was at that time for the man of God. F.W. Krumacher wrote one of the best books that is available, the best commentaries on the life of Elijah. He suggested that the name Cherith, and I pronounce the word Cherith, not Cherith. Mr. Douglas in the college and Hebrew classes taught us that in the Bible all the CHs except for Rachel are pronounced as a K. So it's the brook Cherith. The name Cherith means drought. That's what Krumacher suggests. The idea is that this brook would have dried up more quickly than any other brook in the land. That was because it was a mountain stream that depended on the rain. It depended on God's providence to supply it. So just picture Elijah sitting by a drying brook. And remember, it was a brook to which the Lord had led him. And just think of how he must have felt, of the doubts, the questions, all the anxieties that must have filled his heart and mind at that time. He must have thought, has God forgotten me? Did I make a mistake in coming here to this place? And maybe you're in exactly the same situation today. The brook in your life, the means of your supply is drying up, or maybe it is already gone dry. The provision that you receive, maybe from your income, your job, your business, it's diminishing in these very difficult days. You too are facing a very serious problem, and you're asking this morning why. Why would the Lord allow that to happen? Why does the Lord allow the brook to dry up? Well, one reason, brethren and sisters, is to teach us the lesson that nothing in this world will last. Just ponder that for a moment. Nothing in this world will last. Paul said to the Corinthians, the things that are seen are temporal. And I want to stress that to you. In other words, they don't last forever. And often we need to be reminded of that fact. The things of this world are passing. The things of this world, men and women, are fleeting. We only have them for a time. Something else that the Lord taught Elijah by the drying brook is to trust the provider and not the provision. The danger is you can trust in what the Lord has given you, but you're not trusting in him. You're not trusting in the Lord himself. If the Lord has blessed you with a wee bit of wealth, a wee bit of money, sometimes we can trust in what Paul described writing to Timothy as uncertain riches. So the danger is you can trust in what the Lord has given you, but you're not trusting in the Lord himself. And that's one of the reasons why he allows the brook, the provision, to dry up. So God taught Elijah to trust him and to trust him for everything. And brethren and sisters, we need to learn that same lesson too. So the problem. Second thing I'll emphasize as we learn about Elijah proving God in trying times is the place. If you look at the start of verse 9, it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. After the waters of the brook Kereth dried up, God led Elijah to a new place. He led him to a new place in his experience with God. The Lord led Elijah to Zarephath. Zarephath was approximately 100 miles northeast of Kereth. Now just think of that long journey, probably carried out on foot in that very hot and dusty climate. It was right across the border, out of Israel, into the land of Zidon. And remember that Zarephath was in enemy territory, because that is where Jezebel came from. Remember, she was the wicked corrupter of the land of Israel at that time. If you look back into chapter 16, verse 31, it says it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him, that's Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. So Zidon is where Jezebel came from. Now just think of it. Ahab and Jezebel, they were looking for Elijah. They were sending out search parties all over Israel. But God found a hiding place for his servant in the very last place that Jezebel would have thought of looking, because the Lord found a hiding place for Elijah in her own country, in her own backyard, as it were. Do you see, men and women, how God laughs at his enemies? Matthew Henry, commenting on this portion, said, "To show Jezebel the impotency of her malice, God will find a hiding place for his servant, even in her country." So, brethren and sisters, I urge you today, always follow the leading of the Lord in your life. The Lord knows what is best. And the Lord knows where is best for you to go. And the Lord will look after you. He will keep his hand of protection upon you if you seek to follow in his will and live every day in the very center of his will. But the Lord led Elijah to a particular place in Zidon. It was the town of Zarephath, or Sarepta, as the Lord Jesus called it or described it in the New Testament. And that name Zarephath, that place, it's very instructive, because the name Zarephath means smelting furnace or crucible. Now remember that a smelting pot or a crucible is a place where metals such as gold is put through the refiner's fire in order for it to be tested. Zarephath, therefore, was the place of refining, the place of searching and testing. God was going to test Elijah in that place. And he was going to test him on some of the lessons that he had taught him previously at Kereth. I want you to see, brethren and sisters, as you think of that, I want you to understand today there's a vital lesson here for the child of God to learn. And the lesson is this. Sometimes God leads you in the Christian life to Zarephath, to the place of fiery trial. You ask, why would the Lord do that? Well, he does it because he's testing you too. Never forget that. There are times of testing in the Christian life. Whenever Job was in the furnace of affliction, he declared, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So never forget that. There are times of testing in the Christian life. You ask this morning, what purpose could or does God have in bringing me through such extreme circumstances at this time? Well, here's the answer. He's trying you. He's testing you. He's testing your faith, testing your faithfulness. And I urge you today, pray. Pray for grace, pray for wisdom, pray for strength to be able to pass that test to the Lord's glory. So that's the place. Think as well of the person. Notice the words of verse 9, or at the end of verse 9. It says, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Keep in mind that the word "behold," as you have it there in the verse, it's like a stop sign in the Bible. Here's something God wants you to consider, to stop, and to take note of. And what God wants you to take note of is that the person that the Lord led Elijah to was a person that was very poor. She wasn't a rich woman like Lydia or like Mary of Jerusalem, John Mark's mother that we considered in one of the messages a few months ago. This widow was a poor lady with very limited means. In fact, she had very little by way of provision. Her own cupboard was as good as empty, and she had no fuel to cook the bread. Remember, she's out. The reason that Elijah met her at the gates of the city was she was out gathering sticks in order to cook that last meal. Arthur Pink, in his book on Elijah, again, I commend that to you, he said of this situation, observe once more, God sent Elijah not to a river, but a brook, brook in inverted commas, not to some wealthy person with great resources, but to a poor widow with scanty means. And you know, brethren and sisters, the Lord often works that way. Often the Lord uses the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. The Lord used the widow's mite, the two small coins that she cast into the treasury of the temple. The Lord used the lad's small lunch, two little fishes, five loaves of bread. You know, one of the things that we learn here in the widow's home at Zarephath, we learn that little is much when God is in it. The lesson here is that through Elijah being led to the widow of Zarephath, the lesson is that God can provide for you. And God can provide for you through the person that you would least expect would be able to make that provision. You know, one of the warnings of the passage here is don't despise, don't look down on anyone. Regardless of how poor, regardless of how insignificant they may seem to you. Because remember, we believe in a sovereign God. We believe in the God of providence that guides every detail of our lives. And God has brought that person into your life for a purpose, just as he brought this widow into Elijah's life at this particular time. Can I point out to you that in this chapter, the word there, T-H-E-R-E, is repeated, it's emphasized. If you look there at the end of verse 4, the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That was a reference to the brook Kereth. If you look at also verse 9, our text, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, as you think of those statements and the places to which they refer, ask yourself the question, where will God provide for Elijah in trying times? And the answer to that, men and women, is in the place to which the Lord has led him. He had to be in the center of God's will. He had to follow the path of the will of God. So at this time, God led Elijah to a desolate Gentile widow woman. In reality, she was the last person he would have thought of, the last person he would have chosen to help and to sustain him. But when the Lord spoke to him to go, what was his response to God's command, to God's leading at that time? Well, he didn't argue. He didn't question what the Lord was doing. He didn't delay. You learn from the passage, he obeyed immediately, without hesitation. He was ready and willing to go where God had led him. Whatever the Lord said unto him, he did. There's a hymn we sometimes sing, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's how Elijah lived, and that is how you and I should live as well. The final thing I'll emphasize, as you think of the Lord, or Elijah proving the Lord in times of trouble or trying times, is the provision. Ponder the words of verse 15. And the barrel of meal wasted not, Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let me remind you of the name Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord who sees, or the Lord who provides. And this chapter, men and women, is a great example of that truth, that he is the Lord who sees and provides. We learn here that the Lord provided for his faithful servant. The Lord provided for Elijah. And you can be encouraged this morning as you come to the Lord's house and consider this passage. You can be encouraged from that fact that the Lord will provide for you as well, and provide for your family too. He will supply your every need, even in the most difficult of times. There are some truths about God's provision that you're taught in this passage. I just want to emphasize them quickly for you. Let me point out that the provision was daily. The verse 16 states, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Now notice, God didn't fill the barrel of meal, and he didn't fill the cruse of oil, nor did he give them a new barrel or a new cruse. God didn't give them in advance what they needed to live right until the end of the famine, until the famine was over. Now what the Lord did was he provided their need little by little. The provision of God came on a daily basis, just like the manna when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness. Do you remember that in the Lord's Prayer we're exhorted to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I urge you, brethren and sisters, pray that prayer. Pray it in these difficult days. Pray it continually. Pray it regularly. Because that's how the Lord works. He provides for us as his people a day at a time. The provision was daily. The provision was also miraculously. You think again of those words, verse 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And I want you to see that this provision was a miracle. It was a display of God's omnipotent power. Because what the Lord did was he continuously and daily caused the small amount of meal and oil in that barrel and in that cruse to increase, to multiply, so that it didn't run out until the day the Lord sent rain upon the earth. The Lord Jesus did the same. When he fed the multitude, fed the 5,000, he caused the bread, the fish, to increase. It was a miracle of creation that was wrought by his almighty power. And remember, he is the same God, men and women. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can and he will work the same miracle, provide that same increase for you. Your funds, your bank account may run low like the widow's barrel, but the Lord will see to it, miraculously, that it will never run done. The Savior declared, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And brethren and sisters, when God steps in, when God displays his power, that changes everything. That then everything is possible to the child of God. So the Lord provided daily, miraculously. And the other thing is he provided sufficiently. The food that Elijah and the widow and her son lived on for the rest of the famine, it never changed. Just think of that. There was no variation in the diet. There was no variation in the menu. It was just a little cake, a little loaf that was made from meal and oil. Now you think of how challenging, how difficult that would be. The same meal every day, maybe for 2 years and possibly even more. It wasn't extravagant, but it was certainly sufficient for them. And one of the great lessons, brethren and sisters, is this. Elijah was content with it. He was content with God's provision. He didn't moan or complain. Paul said to Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And it's important, brethren, sisters, for the Christian to be content, especially in trying days, times of extremity. Is that true of you today? Are you content? Content with God's provision for you? Sadly, it's an uncommon thing in the society in which we live, and even an uncommon thing among the people of God in the days in which we live. Proving God in trying times. I'll say this to you just as a close. Let me remind you, God is no man's debtor. If God uses you, and if he uses you to provide for his servants, to provide for his work, he will bless you abundantly. He will bless you abundantly for your kindness and for your generosity. You think of this widow. God sent his prophet to her in her time of great extremity. Remember, it was the last meal. She hadn't much left in the house. And there comes Elijah to stay. He asked for a drink and he asked for something to eat. A woman in her extremity. The Lord sent the prophet. God sent a servant to this widow. And she provided for him. She provided him with lodgings, with board, with hospitality. But I want to remind you, I want to highlight for you, God paid her well for what she did. God paid her well for the room and for the table, because he provided for her as well, and for her family too. So be encouraged by that, brethren and sisters, by that knowledge today. Can I remind you to ponder the great promise, Hebrews 6, verse 10. It's very relevant in the light of this story, the lessons we've been considering. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. And listen to these words. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Not very relevant. That's what the widow at Zarephath did. She ministered to one of God's choicest saints, choicest servants, Elijah. And the message is from that text, brethren and sisters, God always remembers. He never forgets what you do in his name. God always remembers, and God always rewards those of his people who serve him. If I could put it like this, he always rewards those of his people who serve him by serving others, by serving his people, and by serving his servants. So God is no man's debtor. Proving God in trying times. That's what Elijah did. May the Lord give us grace and lead us on that we can do the same as well. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, here's a startling thing. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. May the Lord bless his word to every heart today. Hymn 46, please. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us the Lord will provide. We'll sing all four verses, the hymn 46, and we're standing to sing, please.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in your house and around your word. We thank you for speaking to us and teaching us from the scriptures. Remember that Paul said in the book of Romans that whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning. Lord, we ask you to speak to us today, lead us on, draw us a little closer to yourself. We ask you to increase our faith. Help us, Father, in these trying times to ever keep our eyes upon the Saviour. Your word assures us it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. We ask thee, Lord, part us from thy house in thy fear with thy favour. Bless us through this day. Bless the gospel service tonight. We pray that you'll bless it especially with salvation. And we ask that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.